John's 9th chapter, had been blind from birth. He lives in a darkness no sighted person can ever imagine. John tells us his story at the center of the gospel, a gospel we know to be riddled with light and darkness, blindness and sight, truth and lie. That Jesus sees the man who cannot see him is a literal fact. It is also a theological truth. From Nicodemus in the middle of the night to the Samaritan woman at the well at noon, to Judas in the garden and Pilate at the headquarters, those who dwell in darkness cannot, of their own volition, see the God who has come to them in Jesus Christ. Rather, God in Christ sees them in the darkness of the human condition without God and pitches his tent. Consider this man, John says, whose story bears no resemblance to a man returning in amazement from the optician with a new set of specs or contact lenses, or even from an ophthalmologist with his cataracts removed. Rather, he is a man about to see for the first time. John leads us not simply to imagine what it would be like to be a man born blind. He means to say, we are this man. Born in the darkness, without a hope in the world, unless the light of the world should shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. As he walked along, the story begins, Jesus saw a man born blind from birth. That is to say, the God who has come to us in Christ sees us in the darkness of our human condition without him. I am the light of the world, Jesus has said to religious leaders a chapter before, and now he says to his disciples, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The disciples, though they have followed him, have not put themselves in the path of his being. And so they see the blind man in a wholly different way. Who sinned, the disciples ask at the sight of the blind man, that this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Of course they ask this question, because this is how they have been taught to see. They see by the light of the institutions into which they were born. See the man born blind begging at the gate, and according to religion or family or nation, see him through the categories of culpability and blame. Is this not how we see as a nation still? No doubt the only word pronounced over the blind man by the institution representing God in the world was word of his God forsakenness. His sickness, his infirmity, his tragic circumstances signal the sin passed down from generation to generation. But sin is not what Jesus sees. To repeat, Jesus sees a man born blind from birth, a human being dwelling in darkness without God, a man who can claim nothing for himself, and therefore a person radically open to the claim of the living God on his days. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind, Jesus said, so that God's work might be revealed in him. Really? Really, rants Annie Dillard elsewhere. The works of God made manifest She writes, the girl went through the experience that we all go through and forget. The moment we were born, she saw this girl who suddenly had been cured of her blindness. She saw, but it didn't mean anything. How often this is the case with our believing. Like shines in the darkness, a moment of seeing is given, and then we are on our own. As it is in the story, somebody is in our life. Jesus is there for a moment and then vanishes, leaving us to make sense of what the rest of the world cannot see. Like many of us who live between Christ's coming and his coming again, Barbara Brown Taylor writes, the man has to make his own sense out of what happened to him and has to decide what to say about it in the face of enormous opposition. While there's no joy in his hometown, but only questions and doubts. He was formerly well known among these people, New Testament scholar and preacher Fred Craddock writes. His stumbling and hesitant walk, his dependence, his poverty, or his identity, they define his place in the community. Now, he walks upright, assured of his place and direction, quite independent, only to discover that he has no place anymore. No place because to see him as he is to see him in the light of Jesus. Those who first taught him to see things their way, to see him in that way, necessarily had to acknowledge their own blindness. They cannot. Likewise, he receives no affirmation from the religious community, but rather accusation and judgment. The miracle, of course, happened on the Sabbath when healing is permitted in life and death situations. What was the hurry, they said? The man's been blind from birth, for God's sake. Yet his life was hanging on a gossamer thread without Christ. To see this, religion would have to acknowledge its distance from God, its misunderstanding of Scripture, sure they see things as they really are. We have learned to look through the lens of culpability and blame, law and order, right and wrong. I was going to say truth and lie, but I don't know so much anymore. Both three are considered political and social judgments with the imprimatur of the Lord God Almighty. Only the testimony of the marginal in our society counters our culture of certainty. For the most part, their voices are silenced. For the most part, those who have seen the light finally give up, as though they prefer the darkness. A disheartening number of these patients refuse to use their new vision delivered reports, continuing to go over objects with their tongues, elapsing into apathy and despair. Of one 21-year-old girl, the doctor relates, she is never happier or more at ease than when, by closing her eyelids, she relapses into her former state of total blindness. Part of the reason for this, Dillard opines, is that it oppresses them to realize, if they ever do at all, the tremendous size of the world, which they had previously conceived of as something touchingly manageable. May I state the obvious? We who once have seen our eyes in the light of Christ would prefer to close our eyes than to realize the world is not something touchingly manageable by our small judgments. Miraculously, some do learn to see, though it says at the end, especially the young ones, but it changes their lives. There's the rub. A 22-year-old girl was dazzled by the world's brightness and kept her eyes shut for 2 weeks. When at the end of that time she opened her eyes again, she did not recognize any objects, but the more she now directed